Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
But the first thing I want to talk about is, should we do more to encourage people to have families? And I want to ask you, have a think about this. Should we introduce stronger measures to support families and encourage people to have children? Because we know we're in a bad place right now. As I mentioned there the other night, I think Ireland, the UK and Ireland are probably the worst at the moment. We're 1.4 children per family. The replacement level for the country's population is 2.3. So we're way below the replacement level. If it wasn't for people coming into the country from other countries, our population would be going down. It is still going up, obviously, because people are coming from all over the world and living in Ireland. But our own population, the indigenous Irish, is going down because the birth rates have declined. Across Europe, declining birth rates have led to some governments taking significant action. Hungary, for example, has introduced a set of policies aimed at easing the financial burden on parents. The Prime Minister, who's not a popular one by some people because he's right-wing, but in saying that, some of his policies, I believe, are quite good, recently announced a major tax reduction programme, including full income tax exemptions for mothers with three or more children, with mothers of two set to receive similar benefits starting next year if he's re-elected. Families will also be able to make deductions from their taxes, €50 per year for one child, €200 for two children, and €500 for three or more. And the Hungarian government is also capping interest rates on housing loans at 5% for those who have children and expanding financial aid for home purchases and renovations. He also said if you want to buy a seven-seater because you've got the three kids, he'll also remove the tax from that as well to help you purchase it. So Viktor Orban argues that parents shouldn't be at a financial disadvantage compared to those who don't have children and believes that these measures will make families feel more secure. Now, he has had some of these measures in for some time and they have worked. I mean, there's a huge increase in the amount of people having three children rather than two. And we know in Ireland the reason why people are not having children. Because a young couple out there, oh, by the way, he also wants to give a tax break to women under the age of 30 who have children, to try and reduce the age of having a first child. Because across Europe now, and here in Ireland, 33 is the age of having a first child. You go back 30 years ago, it was 20. So it's increased dramatically, which means it leaves less time to have more children. So he wants to give a financial break to those women who want to have children under the age of 30. These are all incentives to have bigger families, larger families, to keep the country going. Because, of course, if you have an ageing population and you don't have children, or as many children as you should have for a population, well then who's going to pay the pensions? Who's going to pay the tax in 20 or 30 years? Hungary had exempted mothers under the age of 30 from income tax. The policy was one of several pro-family schemes implemented by the Hungarian state in recent years, as the country attempts, as I said, to reverse the trend of declining demographics seen in many countries globally. So should we be looking at the same policy here in Ireland? Now, some time ago, Grip Media did ask Heather Humphreys, our Minister for Social Protection at the time, what she was doing about it. And she wasn't even aware, I believe, that Viktor Orban was doing this, and she had no plan. It doesn't seem she has a plan anyway. It doesn't look like the Irish government have any plan. And when you've got a young couple with one child currently in this country, which is all they can have, because realistically all they can afford is a single-bedroom apartment, unless they're a Rothschild, particularly if they live in Dublin, it's pretty difficult, isn't it? So should we be doing more? And if there's anything you could think of, I'd love to hear from you. What could we do to encourage people to have more children? Obviously women, because men can't have children, but to encourage women to have more children. One of the reasons, of course, as well, that women are having less children is because they're pursuing their careers, which is something we have pushed, I suppose, over the last 30 years. Now, if you're conservative like me, you probably think that's a bad idea. I'm not saying women go into work. Of course, women deserve equal rights and equal opportunities. But the idea of equal outcomes can never be guaranteed. And the problem is it affects the family. And the family unit is the most important thing that we possibly have. Without the family, we're doomed. And that family is declining and declining and declining because we're selling something to people. We're selling a dream that doesn't exist. Because the most important thing is not the holiday. It's not the two cars in the garden. The most important thing is the family. It's the kids. Because without them, it doesn't go on. Humankind is over. Anyway, I want to know what you think. The number, as usual, let us know on WhatsApp on 087-188-0008 or get involved on social media or Facebook at Ireland's Classic Hits, or you can go to Classic Hits Radio. So please do get involved. Now, let me go to Mickey from Donegal. Hey, Mickey.
How are you keeping, Niall? It's been a while.
It has, and I hope you're keeping well, Mickey. Mickey,
keeping well.
How do we encourage people to have more children?
Well, I think, well, look, obviously, you hit a few points there before I even got to speak. For what you were saying there, I see, as you probably know, the last budget they did introduce this new York when you have a first child. I think it only came into effect this month.
€1,000
for your first child and this kind of thing. But I grew up in a general, I have five kids myself.
Mm.
I have two sisters who live in Galway. They have four kids each themselves.
Yeah.
And my dad was the eldest of 15.
Oh, well, that was a long time ago, yeah.
You know.
Well, no, we can't go back to those days either, because unfortunately when people had 12 kids, they couldn't afford them. That was the problem.
And but that was the thing. And that's, my grandparents had a two-bedroom house in Galway City when they had 15 kids, and they were still able to keep lodgers at the same time. But I think, but going back to the way, and I have five, obviously, as I said, I'm not working at the minute. I can go back to work if I want, but I've missed so much being a chef, the long hours working away, and that I miss so much of my kids growing up. And after the COVID, I decided to myself, look, I'm going to take a few years off and I want to concentrate on helping rear my kids. So I'm in the lucky position to do that. I know a lot of people aren't, but I've came over that time. I have built little parts outside, a couple of greenhouses, started growing my own vegetables, potatoes, stuff like that, of my own chickens and everything.
Wow, self-sufficient.
And I think it's going back. Yeah, I think it's going back to the old ways. And I have a neighbour of mine, well, he's a couple of fields over, a Polish guy, and he's a hard working man. He's three kids, and I've seen him, fortunately, he had five greenhouses there. He lost them during the storm. But he was back out the next day building them again. I think to go back into the olden ways, I know not all the way olden ways, but trying to sustain yourself as well if you have a family. And
see, people nowadays are a bit more, yeah, we're all a bit more materialistic nowadays, aren't we? We, you know,
it's all about what you can put up on social media.
Yeah, well, the foreign holiday.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Do you know where my kids have never been out on a foreign holiday. Not that we can't afford it, they haven't. We go to family in Galway or across the border, somewhere like that, and have a week away with family.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having the nice foreign holiday if you can treat the kids to that. You know what I mean? But I think we got to get our priorities right. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. And that's what I'm saying. Even, look, I moved, obviously, I was born in Donegal, so I'm kind of used to it. And I brought my partner down. She's Dublin through and through, Swords, you know? And she's starting to get into these same ways as well. Like she was asking me the other day, she wants another greenhouse because she wants to grow other stuff, and she's actually asking me about getting a couple of sheep and all for down the back. So, you know, it's starting to fit in, and I think in some ways, if you have that, you're lucky to go back to the old.
And could the government?
I know the biggest part of it has got down to the price, cost of living, obviously.
Could the government? Yeah,
but shopping.
Yeah, but Mickey, could the government be doing more to help people? Because currently at the moment, there doesn't seem to be any encouragement, because realistically, women are the only ones that can have children, right? But there's no encouragement for women to have children sooner in life rather than waiting till 33, which is a problem, because then you don't have much time to have many children. So, you know, if you go back 30 years ago, people were having children at 20 years of age, your first child 20 years of age. Now it's 33. So it kind of gave them time to have children. So are we doing enough to encourage women, or are we kind of selling them some sort of dream? Because there was a survey out going back about 10 years ago, Sullis, the employment agency survey, and they asked women, if you could stay at home and get paid the same amount of money and be with your children, would you rather do that? And they said something like 80% said yes. So this idea that, you know, women are obsessed with careers and don't want to have children is actually a lie. It's not actually true at all. Some women obviously are, but it's not true. Most people really do prioritise the family. They just can't afford it.
Oh, 100%. And look, as you can see, I think it's more the government have been, well, what's been rolled out the whole time is it's more they're discouraging you to have children because they're doing nothing for anybody in the country, basically, anyway.
No.
And as you know, especially up in the lakes here, Donegal, look, we're the forgotten county. We always have been, you know. Yeah. During the storm, we were on the...
You were the last ones to get your electricity back.
The red warning, and we're like, typical, we're the forgotten county, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing being done for anyone with the government. Look, Niall, you know yourself, you ran for Europe. I know you were touching on about the EU stuff with Donald Trump. I think he's dead right when it comes to that. But no one else is standing up to him. So they're running what they want, and they're running our government too, you know.
Okay, well, do me a favour. Stay there for a second. Let me go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's good to hear you again.
And thanks very much indeed, Stephen. Viktor Orban is not the most popular Prime Minister in the world, but certainly some of the stuff that he's brought in as a Conservative, you know, it does encourage the family. I mean, that is really important. And, you know, these are good measures, you know, giving income tax breaks to families that have more than two children, giving an income tax break if you want to buy a seven-seater car for your kids. I don't think Eamon Ryan would be too happy about that. Giving income tax breaks if you have a child under the age of 30 to try and bring down that age. You know, these are all good things. Why aren't we doing stuff like that?
Well, I remember the, like, we, this is well-trodden territory for you and I in terms of discussing, you know, especially with Orban. I remember when it was, you know, tax breaks if you had four or more kids, and that only, like, improved things by half of 1% or something like that.
Well, the stats are there today now. I was looking at the article in Gripped in relation to it. Now, he did bring it down to three or more kids, and he's promised if he gets re-elected next year, he'll bring it down to two. And the stats are there that in that period of time, which I think was 4 or 5 years, 200,000 families have availed of this particular tax break. So that's 200,000 families who had an extra kid because of that tax break. That's a good thing.
Yeah, but as I've said before, it's only ever the families that are doing well enough financially to have that amount of kids in the first place. I mean, it all looks great on paper, and by and large, we actually could do something similar like that here in terms of, you know, removing barriers to tax credits or improving child benefits. But it's all tinkering around the edges to say that, you know, we still want you to do everything that you were doing 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but we're not going to change the economy. We're not going to change housing. We're not going to change education provision. We're not going to change healthcare provision. We're not going to change transport. We're not going to do this, this, or this, because that would affect our economy. But we still want you to have another couple of kids. So, you know, just, you know, here's a nice little lollipop. Go and, you know, forget about everything else.
Part of it is, it's systemic. It's happened over, say, a 20 or 30 year period. And I don't want to come across as being a sexist, because this is not what I mean, and I hope people don't pick me up wrong. And I know I'm an old Conservative, right? But the idea that we've sold women the dream of careers, and a lot of women do want a career, and I'm delighted for them, and they should have the same opportunities that everybody else has. Everybody should have equal opportunities. As I say, we can't guarantee equal opportunity of outcome, but we can certainly give everybody the same opportunity and pay them the same amount of money. But surely we should be helping those women, a huge swathe of women who don't want to do that, who'd rather set up and start a family, who'd rather stay with their kids for the formative years of their lives at home, who'd rather be a stay-at-home mom.
But that's what you just said when you were talking about the Solace report, which I must actually go and find, because it is an interesting one and I remember reading it.
Yeah.
You know, if we had a society where it wasn't an absolute necessity for each parent to have at least one job, then more women would, and more families would be more willing to have children in the first place.
But we've sold people,
you know,
this idea that you have to have two incomes.
Works.
But we, look, if, yeah, you, well, if look, you go back 30 years ago, you didn't need two incomes. One income was
30,
enough to sustain a family.
Well, so, you know, maybe some families didn't, but my family needed three incomes when I was born.
Yeah, but you're not that.
My mom,
you're only in your 30s.
I'm 36.
Yeah, okay.
I'm 36. So I was born in 88, and Dad went out and worked a day job, went out and worked a night job most nights of the week. Mom worked a day job nearly every day of the week, I think, for every day since I was, you know, 6 or 7 months old. And the same when my sister was born, you know. But when they were kids, my mom's family got by on one income with six kids, and my dad's family got by on one income with four kids. That's in the 50s and the 60s. You know, like, so things were arguably better back then because society wasn't as complex. There wasn't as much drive for commercialism and competitivism. You know, women could still have the vote. They could do most things that other men could. Okay,
although
they had to give up their job
when
they got married.
They got married, that's right, in the civil service, yeah.
So, but, you know, we can and should be actively working to move society to a situation where you don't need to panic about, you know, getting a mortgage to get a house that you have to pay off for the next 40 years. You don't need to worry about getting your child into a school place. You don't need to worry about going to the GP. You don't need to worry about, heaven forbid, having to go to hospital for something more serious. That you shouldn't need to worry about these things. You shouldn't need
to go,
I can have another kid and quit my job and be in perpetual debt, or I can have my job, my husband can have his job, and we can have 2.4 kids, a dog and a picket fence.
But yeah, but when I was a kid, we had all the same problems we have now, i.e., you know, there was a growing population. We needed more housing. Sean Lamass, of course, is the man who brought in social housing in Ireland. And we needed all of those things. But we kept up with it. Now, I'm not saying the government were great at the time either. Right? They had their own set of problems, i.e. they had their hands in brown envelopes all the time, right? But in saying that, they did keep up with the problems that were holding people back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whereas I find that the government now, like, you look at the cost of living. Over the last 20 years, the cost of living has risen exponentially. And yet the cost of the amount of money people are getting paid has not gone up in tandem with it. Whereas if you go back, if you go back 40 years ago, it did. We used to have a thing called the National Wage Agreement. Do you remember that? They got rid of it back in the 90s. And that was where automatically, no matter what job you were in, private or public sector, your wages went up with the cost of living every year, be it 2 or 3% or whatever it happened to be at the time. So your wages went up. You didn't have to ask your boss for a rise. It was mandatory. He had to give it to you. You know, and those those kind of things worked.
A lot of the... You know, there's no reason we can't do things like that, because I know when the minimum wage goes up, my manager will come to me and go, well, you know, there's an extra couple of cents per hour for, because my wages go up in line with the minimum wage, because I'm not on minimum wage, but because their wages are going up, mine go up.
Yeah.
Because I'm higher in the company. You know, but that's my manager volunteering to do that off his own bat and take the hit.
Yeah, but has your wages gone up in line with the cost of living? No, I can tell you it's probably
It hasn't. No. Thankfully, unfortunately, it hasn't. You know, but thankfully for my manager, it hasn't had to either, because the wage bill would have gone through the feckin' roof, you know.
Okay, the point I'm kind of getting around to is we've been kind of sold this new lifestyle over the last 20 years. You know, the nice holiday, the second car in the garden, the electric car, if that's what you want to buy. Or whatever it is. We've been sold
the commercialist, capitalist idea.
And that's all well and good if you've got to give people money for it. If you've got to keep people money for this lifestyle.
That was around in the 80s and the 90s.
It wasn't really.
Said, like, all families have really had to just kind of grit and bear it. If they decided to have another kid, they would do away with the foreign holiday. It'd be, you know, down to Bettystown in the camper van or something like that instead, because they wanted three children instead of two children.
Do you know one of the reasons people had more children?
Now you can't have that with two kids, sorry?
Do you know one of the reasons back in the 1960s and 70s people had more children? Do you know one of the main reasons? Because there was no contraception.
Go on, I think I know what you're going to say, but go on.
There was no contraception. That was probably one of the main reasons, because the Catholic Church...
Not what I thought. I was going to say, you know, poor children's health outcomes and things of that, but...
Are you saying that
we should try and restricting contraception?
I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just saying that's one of the reasons.
I can see that going down very well.
Yes, if you go back even further, back to the 1930s and 40s, when people were having 10 and 12 children in a family, I mean, kids were dying. You know, from typhoid, or not typhoid, diphtheria, diarrhea, all sorts of infectious, preventable
tuberculosis
diseases.
Tuberculosis and all these other kinds of things. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because unfortunately, we couldn't, look, apart from anything else, we didn't have the sanitary systems that we have now as well. You know, that was all part of that. Actually, do me a favor, Stephen, stay there a second, because I want to come to Alan. Alan, stay there. I have to take a quick break, and I should be with you in a second. We're talking about Viktor Orban's plans, if he gets re-elected, to bring in an exemption of tax for any mother who wants to have a child over two children in a family. She'll get a tax break. At the moment, it's three, but he said if he gets re-elected, he'll bring it down to two. Loads of other tax break twos are having a seven-seater car and all sorts of things as well. Are we doing enough in Ireland to encourage people to have children? And why do you think we're not having children? All right, welcome back. Let me go to Alan. Alan, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall.
Good. Alan, you're one of 13 kids.
I'm the last of 13. I'm the youngest.
It was a busy household.
I look back and I realise my mother had no life. She had a horrible life, really. She was an incubator for my father. She'd no life. She never had any outlet until she was in her 70s and she could actually get on with her life and enjoy it for herself. And I think today's generation, Niall, is mainly distracted by one child is seen as big. There's no big families ever going to come around again. Like five or six, I have family members with five or six kids, but they are few and far between. Most couples now...
Two and one.
And it's all about their own agenda. They don't care about family, building up a unit of a family and dedicating their life to it. Because most of the people today, the younger generation that are having kids today, are kids themselves. They don't have any gumption to, you know, strategize, get a proper life for themselves with their family and grow the family. It's not like that now. I think we're going to see the end of the Indigenous Irish in about 50 years' time.
But when you say your mother was an incubator for your father, right?
Yeah, I do believe that.
Okay,
he wasn't right to have that many kids with me, man.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I don't think we're ever going to go back to having 13 kids again. There was a family in my area had 18 kids, right? And they lived in a three-bed house. I don't know how they managed that. The woman was permanently pregnant, right? But in saying that, how do you know that your mother wasn't happy to do that? That she wanted to be a mother? Niall,
my ma should have been religious all her life without getting married. She had a horrible childhood, and she got abused by a doctor, which was a little girl, and nothing was done about her then. It was all cursed up and covered over. There was no expose done. And she never really had an education, and she was a religious maniac, my mother was, and she should have become a nun. Because she had the morals of a nun.
So there was clearly no contraception in that household?
No, there was no contraception. And then when she had 11 kids, Niall, she went into the hospital and wanted to be put on the pill. And the master of the Coombe Hospital said to her, "I know you don't need that. You've had great pregnancies."
Well, in those days, the masters of the hospital probably would have said, "Well, let's have a word with your husband first and see what he thinks."
Well, he didn't say that. He just said, "I know you've had no trouble with your pregnancies. You don't need that." Mm. And she ended up having two more kids. She had about five miscarriages. And she had 13 children born healthy. And I was the 13th. I was born in 71. And my mother was absolutely worn out from all of that pregnancies. Worn out.
But nobody's suggesting we go back to that. But we're now at the other extreme, Alan.
We will never go back. Niall, the young girl today doesn't even have a committed relationship with a man, or a man won't have a committed relationship with a woman. It'll be a one-night stand and she'll get pregnant and that'll end that, and then they'll go out there anyway and have the baby without a father. There's no units now. They're all singularities. There's no units of families getting created. To the extent that there's no, as you said, Niall, we're down to 1.5 births. Mm. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think it's around that, 1.5.
Is that across the board, or is there a certain generic of...
No, that's across the board, yeah.
Well, Niall, if that goes on for the next 30, 40 years, you will see the depletion of the ordinary Irish race, and it'll just be imports. We'll have loads of population increase through importation of...
Well, that's what's happened over the last 30 years, obviously. The reason our population is still expanding and growing is because people are coming from all over the world to work and live in Ireland. That's part of the global village we live in. But I don't want to go down that route anyway. But Stephen, you've been listening to Alan, you know, and I understand the point that he's making. That was a very different time, you know, and women were led and said by their husbands. I would never like to see us going back to that those days either. But there has to be a happy medium, Stephen.
There does have to be a happy medium. But at the same point, you know, the previous caller contradicts himself in saying, well, you know, young people now are not bothering to create the family unit and be the family that he would have grown up in terms of, you know, parents that are together and living with each other and looking after their kids and doing their jobs and raising the kids. every family is doing that. You know, I can point to somebody I know who swears that's it, one and done. And I can also point to the family down the road that had six kids over 20 years. You know, so we can point to anecdotes.
Do you think the decline in marriage, because there is a decline in marriage, and that commitment between two people, do you think that's having an effect on us?
Kind of marriage. It's an indisputable fact. I'm sure if I went and looked at the statistics, because I've never done it, but I'm sure, you know, the marriage rates are down.
Massively,
you don't need you don't need to be married to have a family.
I don't agree with you. Look, I'm not saying you can't have a family if you're not married. Of course you can.
Yeah.
But I do believe that it's an important part of the family unit. The commitment of marriage, and I'm not religious at all, as you well know, I don't even believe in God. But I believe I believe the commitment of marriage is really important for a family.
Can you? Yeah, but it's a whole other separate discussion.
No. It's all part of this discussion, really, isn't it? Because if there's a decline in marriage decline in commitment to be together...
All marriage is a societal contract to say that you're going to spend majority of your lives together with each other.
It's a bit more than that.
That's all it is.
It encourages
people... And the tax breaks, of course.
Well, yeah, and it encourages... Mind you, when you say this about the tax breaks, sometimes you're financially better off not being married. Anyway, but look, it does... Yeah. The commitment of marriage sometimes encourages people to stay together for the sake of their kids.
Yeah, but then you're into, you know, parents that hate each other for 18 and 20 years while their kids are growing up and then going, right, that's it, the kids are 18 now, fuck off with all, not you obviously, but you know, get out of my house and don't darken my doorway again. That's not a life to be putting anybody through, whether it's the husband, the wife, or whatever family arrangement it is, and however many children they have. I grew up in a family that was that situation, and you don't want, nobody should want that or justify that for their kids for the sake of making sure that couple has another kid.
Stay there, both of you, for a second. Let me just bring Cormac, and I want to bring Julian in the conversation as well. Cormac, hi, how are you?
Good evening. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of there, yeah. So I'm still not 100%, but...
I had a bit of a bout with myself over the last couple of months, but I've just tuned into you. The statistic I'd like to know is, what is the trend in the birth rate in Ireland over the last 20 years?
Well, it's declining. I don't know the exact statistic from 20 years ago right up to now, but it is declining. I mean, 20 years ago, I'm guessing our birth rate was probably around 2.93. And now our birth rate is 1.5. In the UK, it's 1.4. They're a little bit lower than us. And that's no good.
Okay, well, the first gentleman who was on, I think, was on your show last night as well. He seems to me to talk a lot of sense. Now, the second gentleman,
Stephen,
is ignoring a basic fact. And I'd like to ask him, does he think society is better today than it was in the 60s, the 50s, 60s and 70s, when the marital unit was sacrosanct in this country? Does he think societal behaviour is better now or worse?
I don't think it's changed all that much. If you're implying that the incoming of divorce destroyed the fabric of society, no, is the simple answer to that question. I don't think things have changed all that much from the 50s, 60s and 70s to the noughties, 10s and 20s.
Are you trying to suggest that the societal behaviour at the moment is better than it was in the 50s and 60s?
So give me an example of societal behaviour that's happening now.
Sorry, let me finish. When we could all walk down O'Connell Street, our children could play outdoors, we didn't have to worry about them. Would you allow a child play outdoors now to kick a football around?
There are children outside my door playing on the streets every day of the week.
Well,
from every end of the street and every street in my area.
I'm sorry, there was a psychologist on RTE this morning who has analysed the behaviour of children for the last 30 years. And some children at the moment, aged up to 7, don't even know how to kick a football because they're spending all their time on their phones. And that's because there is no parental influence. There's no family unit left in the country. And by the way, I wouldn't walk down O'Connell Street and now Grafton Street after 7 o'clock in the evening, would you?
I do it 4 days a week.
You do it at what times?
Usually between 6 and 9 o'clock.
Let's not get back
in. Not anyway, okay, well, any of your business.
Okay, well, hang on. We spent nearly an hour last night talking about how safe we feel in the streets. I don't want to go back down that route, Cormac, but I get the point that you're making, okay? You believe society has changed dramatically.
For him to allege that societal behaviour is better today than it was 20 years ago.
I don't think he said it was better. I don't think that was the word he used.
Well, he said it's not any worse.
If you really want to have a conversation about it, that's fine. But give me an example and a metric to compare the 50s, 60s, and 70s with to now. You're talking about kids going out and playing in the streets. I see it all the time. I'm sure there are areas where it doesn't happen, but there are more areas where it does than doesn't. As for walking around the city centre at night, you know, that's a whole other thing. The city centre is not as dangerous as the media would like to make it out to be. But that's coming from a white cisgendered man.
A white cisgendered man. Didn't know we were going down that route today. There you go.
Let me respond to that point. I just listened to the head of the Child Bureau in Ireland this morning on RTE, quoting the statistics on children's behaviour over the last 20 years, and it is fundamentally adverse to what you're saying. You're not speaking fact here. You're talking about a couple of kids playing outside your particular door.
Let's just settle this, because I know we could go around in circles on this, Stephen. It would be fair to say, it genuinely would be fair to say, because I'm 61 years of age, and I know what it was like 30 or 40 years ago. There was much more kids out on the streets on their bikes playing, particularly during the summer months. Nowadays,
thank you very much.
Yeah, nowadays a lot of kids are indoors on PlayStations, etc., on their phones or whatever it is. There's a different
and a
type
lot of kids are in different activities and different absolutely, sports. Absolutely.
But I'm just saying, kids did socialize more. They were out on the streets. We didn't worry too much about them at 11 or 12 years of age on the streets, generally speaking. Now, I'm not saying it was a perfect society. We all know it wasn't. Right. But in saying that, the point that Cormac is making about children being out on the streets and you know, enjoying themselves a little bit more, I think is a fair point. I have to go to break. Cormac, stay there for a second. Stephen, stay there, and Alan. I want to go to Julie as well. She's been waiting ages. Stay there for a second. Just before I go to Julie, Cormac, you were talking about this guy that was on RT this morning. Who was he, by the way?
It wasn't a guy. It was a woman.
A woman. And who was she?
She's in charge of child welfare in the institution is responsible for child welfare in this country.
Bernardo's or something like that? Or
No. The state body.
Okay.
Now, that gentleman I've been liaising with seems a very nice person, and there's nothing personal about this, but I want him to consider this fact. What were the Chinese doing 20 years ago in relation to procreation? And what are they doing today? And what's the reason why they've changed course? I'll tell you what the reason is. They were paying people not to have children 20 years ago. Now they're paying people to have children. Why? Because their culture was being obliterated by foreign influences. And that is exactly what's happening in this country.
Well, they weren't actually paying people not to have children. They were punishing people who had more than one children by taxing
them. Let me give you a statistic. The town of Liston-Varna in County Clare, where I have a residence, had a population of 800 people before the Ukrainian war. The population of that town is now 2,200. And Irish culture in that town has been obliterated. Why? Because we're not procreating enough Irish people. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to import people to do the jobs.
But isn't it lucky? I'm not talking about illegal immigrants, by the way. I'm talking about people who come here through the proper visa system and work in our country. Isn't it lucky that people do come here? Because if they didn't, we'd have a very declining population and an aging population who'd never be able to afford the pensions in the future.
Yeah.
Someone, stay there. Someone, stay there for a second. Let me go to Julie. Stay there, Cormac.
The caller's trying to get on, but We can have another discussion around defining Irish culture, because this great replacement theory nonsense.
I'm not talking about defining Irish culture. I'm talking about.
Well, you just said that it's been obliterated, but it's another conversation to have at a different time.
Well, the culture.
Okay, go ahead, hang on, please. I want to give Julie an opportunity. She's been waiting ages. Julie, sorry, I do apologise.
You can't define Irish culture. Hang on. Funny or anything, but you can try, but you can't.
Define Irish culture.
You can't. Don't you want us to get rid of the Irish dancers, get rid of our. No. Okay? No, you can't define the Irish culture. End of.
Well, you can.
You can't define Irish culture.
Of course you can define Irish culture, Julie. Of course we have a culture.
Okay, here's an interesting one. Define it, though.
I will define it.
Define it.
It's defined by arts, music, literature, and...
language.
...habit and practice. That's how it's defined. And in this environment, it has been obliterated, as it was in China.
Okay.
That's why they're now paying people to appropriate.
The people in Liston Barna would argue with you, but anyway.
Yeah, I think of all places, actually, Liston Barna probably has the best Irish culture. Well, stay there for a second. Julie, getting back to the original question. Can we all stop talking about the one thing there, because we're gone off in a different direction. We're talking about the great replacement theory there now all of a sudden. Julie, let me just get back to what we're talking about. How do we encourage women to have more children?
We don't families. Have enough.
It's Cormac.
Whoa.
Please, Cormac.
See? A man's world, what? You can't really. It's up to a woman at the end of the day. Now, we are, I believe, like, on the air to produce or whatever. But at the end of the day, like, if a woman, like, can't have kids, what do you do then? Like, do you know what I mean? So, look, it's up to each individual. It's up to couples. You were talking
that's
about mini families and maxi families there earlier on.
About.
Right, we'll bring in the conversation because you've swung it around a few times now, pal. Go on.
What has that got to do with what we're talking about?
What are we talking about?
We're talking about a declining Irish population to the extent that we have to import foreign cultures to do the work because we're not procreating in sufficient numbers. That's the reality.
Who said that?
It's nothing to do with women not being able to procreate.
Well, that's the question Niall asked me. So hold on a second. Who said that? I know plenty of Irish people in Ireland. So there is Irish culture here, by a fact. And they are working. And there is families that are increasing and decreasing. That's the way life goes.
You asked me earlier to define Irish culture. You said that
only
no
because you were talking about Liston Barna and how it was invaded by blah, blah, blah. It's still Ireland.
Now you're quoting Irish culture. You don't know what you're talking about.
You just go back to Liston Barna. Good night, God bless. Good luck with that one, yeah?
I defined Irish culture for you.
Oh, she's gone. She had enough. She answered to Cormac. She couldn't handle it anymore.
We managed to have more women actually explain, you know, whether they want the government to incentivize them to have children or not.
But just getting back to Julie, what Julie was saying, you know, I do agree with Cormac. I do believe that there is a definition of Irish culture. I mean, we do have a culture.
There's a whole, we can talk about that another night.
I know, but I think it's important to point out, because Cormac makes a good point. We're talking about population declining, and that's an important thing to point out as well, because whether you believe in a great replacement theory, which I think is, there's no man behind the curtain, right? I don't believe that, right? But naturally, even CSO brought out figures there going back about 2 months ago saying by 2057, you know, Irish people or indigenous Irish will have a declining population in the country. We'll be up to 7 million people, but probably 40% of us won't even be indigenous Irish anymore. And take another 50 years on top of that, you know, where other cultures, for example, in this country probably have more children than we do at this moment in time. You know, eventually... Irish, unless we arrest this problem that we currently have that we're talking about tonight, you know, eventually that will happen. And we've seen that happen in other countries, by the way, Stephen.
Going back to my original point, the reason the majority of people are not having more children or as many children as they want is because the economy and society is not conducive to it. Hungary's economy is in recession the last couple of years. It's still in recession. And Orban is trying to buy his way out of it by incentivizing more the production of more taxpayers. And as I said, the women and the family, the women and the parents that are only going to be able to avail of this are the ones that can already afford to raise two, three, four, and five kids.
Sorry. Are you trying to allege that people today are worse off than they were in the 40s and 50s? I was the youngest of 14 people.
Take a look at any metric of the economy and your cost of living at my age versus my cost of living at my age, the income and the abilities that my parents had and my grandparents had, and the income and the abilities that my generation and the generation below me and the generation below them have. My generation are more than likely never going to own their own houses.
My daughter's kids are never going to own their own houses.
I have to move out of my house and into a shed in my back garden if I want a place of my own.
That's the way this thing is going right now.
Tell me how I'm talking nonsense. You haven't been reading the newspaper in the last six months.
Can I respond to you? Most people in the 40s and 50s in this country survived by money lenders. And you're trying to tell me that these people in the 40s and 50s were better off than people today. Will you cop on to yourself?
They were. They could afford to buy. My parents bought a house
they
on one income.
They survived by borrowing money from British
My parents
money
bought
lenders
a house on one income and a 20-year mortgage, and they had it all paid off by the time I was 20.
Lads, hold on just for 2 seconds. I just want to bring Sean in before the break. Sean, hi, how are you?
How you doing, Niall? How are you?
There's a good old party going on here, I can tell you. But go on.
Absolutely. You know, and I have to say, Cormac is making a few good points, and so is Stephen. The fact that it is, Niall, you know, me and my partner are still young enough to have a kid. The reason why we didn't decide to have another child is, but the fact is that everything just went through the roof. I mean, we, you know, look, we're having a good lifestyle here. You know, we have two cars, we have the house, we have, you know, the kids are growing up. You know, I would have loved to have another kid, I'm being honest with you, Niall. But
yeah, we didn't have that in the 40s.
Well, we're not living in the 40s, Cormac. But the fact of it is, Niall, that the reason why we didn't is because this government, and let's, you know, call a spade here, Niall. We see businesses closing down. We see, you know, Eddie Hobbs was on there the other day. $20 billion has gone in to an infrastructure for asylum seekers in this country. You know, it's absolutely shocking what's going on now, you see. You know, we're being...
I don't know if the figure was $20 billion now. I don't know where you got that, where you pulled that figure from.
Back at it.
Are you talking about over the last 3 or 4 years? It's been more like $4 or $5 billion. It hasn't been $20 billion.
Well, up to date now, with accommodation, with, you know, the whole lot, everything all into one.
I'd like to see that figure and how that's broken down. But
that's what they said.
I'm not denying it's a tremendous amount of money that has been spent on the massive increase of people coming into the country over the last 2 or 3 years.
I feel that the Irish are being forgotten about here. And that's what I said to researchers earlier on with your show. You know, we're not given enough incentives. We're not given enough, you know, tax breaks here. And I know what your show is about tonight. Obviously, you know, to give us tax breaks and, you know, to let us have more children. But it's not happening because they would rather, you know.
Yeah, but you can't blame the foreigners on everything, Sean. But wait, a part of the problem is housing is unaffordable. You can't blame that on foreigners.
No, I get that. But here's the thing. Housing is unaffordable. But here's the thing, though. We're not Ireland anymore. We're the part of the EU. We don't own Ireland. You know that. You've been running in the elections. You know quite well who the Irish government are playing to the tune of the EU.
He's agreed with you. And
they're bringing in, you know, foreigners. They're all coming. Here. Mr. Michael, whatever his name is, said it when they were coming in on the plans. Michael O'Leary, Niall, it's in our faces.
I'm not disagreeing that we have a chaotic immigration system that needs to be fixed, right? But that's not the reason, or that's no reason for Irish people to be having less children. You're putting two things together. You're putting two and three together and making seven. You know what I mean? You really are.
Oh, no.
I'm not suggesting there's a huge problem. Sean, I agree with you. There's a huge problem. There's a huge problem when it comes to immigration. There's a huge problem in the amount of money we're spending on it.
So what I'm saying is, Niall, right?
But money don't fix the housing crisis either.
No, well, it would, and it could. You see, the fact that it is, where's the Apple money, Niall? Where's the Apple money?
Well, we didn't get all of that. There's a bit of a myth around the Apple money. We didn't get all of the Apple money. It's in the government have it. The government have it. It's there for a rainy day.
Spending it on the hospitals, on the housing crisis, and every on the hospital. This is what I can't understand.
They got it last. They got it last November. Went into an escrow account last November.
I know you're not going to agree with me calling them a scumbag government, but they really are. They really are a scumbag government. You see them in there today, killing each other over talking to, you know, who has time. And, you know, Micheál Martin said he's rushing the Gardaí through Temple Moor there, and he says, "What is betting?" Did you see what he said there today? Mm-hmm. You couldn't write this. You couldn't.
No, I agree with you that the government have done very little since they've been formed, apart from argue with each other. They're not running the country anymore. They're just arguing with each other constantly all the time, and it isn't a waste of time. Do me a favour, lads. I have to go to the news. Stephen Cormack and Sean, I might continue this for about 10 or 15 minutes after the news if there's anybody else who wants to get involved, all right? Because there's so many people interested in this topic. And what we are actually talking about is the decline in the Irish birth rate and how we can actually arrest that problem. I was talking about Viktor Orban, for example, who gave tax breaks to women to have children. Is that a good idea? All right, welcome back to the Barney. Well, I say the Barney. It's all kind of kicked off now with people disagreeing with each other. And we did start talking about the birth rate in Ireland, and I do want to focus on that. And I know Sean went off on a bit of a tangent, and I understand the point that Sean is making. Sean, I do understand the point you're making and the wastage of money and everything else. There's a whole million topics in what you just talked about. But let's just focus on why we're not having children.
You know, can't afford it. We can't afford it. It's as simple as that, Noel. I can't give you a better excuse other than I can't afford to bring another child into this country, into this world, because we can't afford it. Because we're being priced out of it, Noel. We're being priced out of our homes. We're being priced out of our insurance companies. We're being priced out of our shopping centres, our, you know, our groceries. We're being priced out of everything. Why? Because of the government. The government is doing this to us. There's nobody else doing it to us, Noel. There's nobody else doing this to us other than our own government. And they're saying that this government, that this country is making millions and billions. Where is it, Noel? Where is it being spent? I got me insurance bill in there the other day. Last year it was 600 quid. Do you know how much it is this year? A 953 or whatever it was, 952 euro.
Yeah, mine went up by about 300 quid as well, yeah.
What's going on? What did I do wrong?
Stephen, you want to respond to that? You know, I get the point Sean is making. People just can't afford to have kids. I can only listen one at a time. Sorry, Stephen, just to respond to that, Stephen Cormack. I'll let you speak in a minute. Go ahead, Stephen.
But that's my entire point is, you know, education is too expensive. Having a child is too expensive. You know, paying for the house, the electric, the car, the water, everything else is all too expensive. Orban is looking at potentially, if he gets back in again, capping the price of that supermarkets can charge for food. You know, society is just too expensive and it's not conducive to having a family.
Okay.
That is the entire point that I've been making.
Whose fault is it, Stephen? Whose fault is this? Because it's not my fault.
The government.
Stephen.
Who else's fault would it be? What
do we do, Stephen? What do we do? You tell me what we do,
well,
Stephen.
You do what people did in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and you go on strike, or you protest, or you petition the government, or
We've done it all, Stephen.
Sorry, Cormac, you want to say something there before I go to Mary? Go ahead.
I just wanted to make one more point in that the birth rate only significantly went down after the last crash, from about 2010 to 2011 onwards. The same thing happened in the 80s, after the recession in the 80s. And then it ticked up again after about 10 years.
But it even dropped 2.9% between 22 and 23. You know what I mean? So it's still dropping dramatically. I'd hate to think what it'll be next year. Do you understand what I'm saying?
But this whole thing of, you know, we're losing Indigenous Irish people.
We are.
Is a nonsense.
We are.
Because people are...
No, hang on, Stephen. Don't call that a nonsense. I'm not saying it's a man behind the curtain, or I'm not suggesting it's any nefarious reason, but we are.
Becoming Irish and taking up the Irish culture. But again, we're not going to get into...
No. Okay, Cormac, you want to say something quickly before I go to Mary there?
Thanks, Niall. I thoroughly agree with Sean's point. The only thing he doesn't realise is the reason for his point. And the reason for his point is that we are a member of a bankrupt union that's becoming more bankrupt as we day by day. And when they've to pony up their fair share of defence spending, it's possible the EU will disintegrate. Now, the only reason house prices are rising in Ireland is nothing to do with the cost of inputs. It's nothing to do with interest rates. It's due to the fact that we're a member of a bankrupt union and we cannot control our own monetary policy. It's being dictated to us. Now, the solution to the Irish housing crisis, or part of it, is for us to withdraw from the EU, which is now bankrupt and becoming more bankrupt day to day, and interest rates are going to have to rise dramatically in the EU when Trump forces them to pony up $200 to $300 billion a year more on defence than they're doing now. What do you think the effect on interest rates is going to be? We should withdraw from the EU and
it's
join the
It's not going to happen,
British
though, Cormac.
Hold on a second.
No, we know what you're saying, Cormac. And I do respect you what you're saying, Cormac.
Cormac, I absolutely understand the point that you're making, right? But it's not going to happen in the lifetime of this government.
No.
Now, let's be clear,
the Irish government are so far up the asses of the EU. It's never going to happen.
Their tongues are so far up there.
Let's consider another point Sean made about Irish politicians. We had a spectacle in the Dáil yesterday where our Taoiseach attacked the leader of Sinn Féin because she called a member of her party a patriot who was convicted of murder and heinous crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And his response to that was, Michael Lowry hasn't done anything as bad as that. So we have a Taoiseach who categorises criminality as adjudicated by a 7-year tribunal. So,
well, I remember, of course, a tribunal is not criminality and doesn't prove criminality, obviously.
No, it doesn't, but it has alleged criminality.
No, it doesn't. Tribunal doesn't prove criminality. I mean, that's just the fact. If you want to prove criminality, you then have to have a trial, and the evidence of a tribunal can't be used in a trial. So it's a separate issue. Cormac, hang on, I have to go to Mary as well. Hang on.
All right.
Mary, hi, how are you?
Thanks for your name. How are you?
Good. Mary, a lot of people get their knickers in a knot here tonight, but realistically, how do we increase the birth rate? How do we encourage people to have bigger families?
But why would they have bigger families, in fairness? As the guy said there back earlier on, his parents bought a house, whatever, and they owned the house by the time he was 20. He's talking about 1970s, because my own parents bought their house. They wouldn't buy a car for it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but everything in context. Yeah, you know, I bought my first house, it was €50,000, but that was 30 years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I was only being paid 150, 200 quid a week. So everything in context.
As you said,
the house prices have gone up faster than...
Oh, they have, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yes, at this moment in time.
What?
At this moment in time, house prices are certainly exaggerated.
Yeah, they're crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I think the fact of the matter is, Noel, you know, and I know this, and I said this to you before, Noel, and I know it's ridiculous what I'm going to say again, but we need to get rid of the government. And we had our chances, and it didn't happen. You know, I know everybody's going to go off on one. I voted for you, Noel, back in the elections, and I voted for everybody other than this government. And so, you know, it's just so strange that they got in again. You know, I just can't get my head around it, Noel. And you know what, Noel? It's depressing them. Fuck hell me. I'm going to be honest with you. Every morning I wake up, I read in the papers, all I'm hearing is immigration and this and that and the other, which is not our problem, Noel. It's not our...
I know all these problems in relation to that, the children's hospital and overspending and all this and bike sheds and everything else. It's the government's problem. You are right. And they're not dealing with the problems. They're definitely not dealing with the problems. Sorry, just to get back to Mary. Mary, I still haven't got a kind of answer for you yet. How do we encourage people to have more than 1.5 or 1.6 children or whatever it is? How do we encourage them to have more children?
You can, but I mean, I wouldn't be encouraging my children to have any more children.
Why?
You know what I mean? It's just, it's very expensive. It's very, very expensive in this country.
Okay, wait, how many children have you got, Mary?
I've got four of my own.
Okay, when you were having those four children, particularly when you were having the fourth, did you sit down and think to yourself, can I afford this? Or did you just have the child?
No, no. I mean, no, I didn't just have the child. We thought about all this. Now I'm on my own before, but they're grown up.
Mm-hmm.
They're all grown up now. And they're doing well. You know what I mean?
Well, the point hang on, Sean. The point I'm making, Mary, is, you know, my mum and dad, they only had three kids. And that's because my mum couldn't have children. She had miscarriages. So I was adopted, right? But in saying that, you know, in those days, people didn't think about having a child financially. They just had the child and they worried about the finances afterwards.
I know what you're saying because, I mean, my mother, I don't know how we managed a three-bedroom house with all of us, brothers and sisters.
How many of yous was there?
Sorry?
How many brothers and sisters have you got?
Four of each.
Okay, right, so there was nine in your
four
house.
Four girls, four boys.
Right, okay.
You know, and we've managed in a three-bedroom house, and I always say it every time we're out with my sisters. Oh, in the Lord God, there was four of us in one bed, like my sisters now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when I had my own four children here, they were fighting for the room, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying to you?
Yeah, sorry, Sean.
Can I just respond
very
to
quickly,
the same
Sean,
question that you asked?
Yeah, go on, I have to wrap this topic up. Go on.
Yeah, well, so you see the question that you asked there, you know. So, Niall, here's the story. You know, I have a 25-year, my son is 25 years of age, okay? Now, I just want to just put into perspective, the fair play. And here's the thing, Niall. So I want to put this into perspective where I was when I was 25, Niall. Now, I come from a family of nine, Niall, a very big family. We were in, a two up, two down, whatever it was called. But the fact of the matter is, Niall, you know, we were gone out of the house there. I was gone out of the house when I was 18, Niall. I was working away. You know, I was working away since I was actually 16. I was gone out of the house at 18. And, you know, we were renting at 19. Give and take 18 and a half, 19. Me and my partner. We had our son then. You know, and then we went on and bought a house, Niall, about 2 or 3 years later after that, I think it was.
Yeah, but that's an impossibility for most couples now.
No, I get that, Niall. Yeah. But my point is that this is what was going on 25 years ago. Like, you could, like, what that lady said there, you know, my son is still, Niall, I told you that they're saving for a house. I don't think they're ever going to get a house, Niall. I'm going to be honest. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm having financial chats with them every couple of months and where he is there now and how he's getting on. And, you know, I'd give them all support, you know, the financial support I could give. But, you know, the government, you know, the way they have us as parents, Niall, and you hear this before, they want the parents to bail the kids out and buy their, you know, get in there.
Didn't Leo Varadkar say that one time, you know, the bank of mom and dad? Yeah, he suggested mom and dad should be giving them the money. That was probably one of the worst things he ever said to the doll. He got into a huge amount of trouble over that. Stephen, he's got a point, you know, and the same when I was young, when I was his age, 18. You were in your first job, you had your first bed sit, or you were living with your mates in an apartment somewhere. You know, everybody was out of the house between 18 and 23. That can't happen anymore.
No, it can't. Like, even seven, 8 years ago, there was a notion that me and three of my friends would move in somewhere, and it was an unworkable thing. And we weren't exactly, you know, earning shit wages or anything like that, but it was still an unworkable thing for four of us to move into a house on our own.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's the same. I mean, like, I can tell you now, I'm earning less. I earn less money now than I was earning in 2003.
There you go. Like, it's the fundamental point. And I reckon if you lined up 100 women and asked them the question, what could we do to make you feel, and you and your partner feel like you could afford another child or afford your first child.
Get rid of this government.
It would all be the same answer. It would be the same thing. It would be make society better.
Yeah, well, and Sean has got a point when he says get rid of this government, because they've had 5 years already.
Oh, look.
They've had 5 years to make it easier for young couples to get a house. Actually, they've had more than that. The housing crisis has been going on for the last nine
Don't
or 10 years.
Don't blame me.
Yeah.
Don't blame me. I didn't vote for them either.
No, I'm not saying you did, but I'm just saying, you know, we're like turkeys voting for Christmas. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
No, I get you. Absolutely. And it's, you know, more power to the people that are going to go out and vote for Sinn Féin or Labour or Sock Dems or whoever else. You know, just don't. People vote for the candidates that they like. That's it. A lot of people don't tend to vote parties anymore in my generation and other generations.
We did. We voted for the independents.
Yeah,
we voted
your
for this.
Generation
we voted for
did.
That.
My parents.
Hold on for a
did.
Minute. Here, I'm talking about the last election. But here's the thing, Stephen. It still didn't work, Stephen. This is where I'm getting at here, Stephen.
Yeah,
what
because.
Now,
well, when you say it didn't work, Sean, they got less votes between the pair of them. I think it's the lowest votes they've had in 40 years between. Somebody can quote me on, or don't quote me on that because I can't remember the actual statistics. But it's a huge decline in votes for both parties. But they still got into government.
Yes, Niall. Can I just say this to Stephen?
Yeah.
The only people that are messing this country up, Stephen, and you know, I'm sure you agree with me. And the reason i.e. the Irish people can't have another child is because of the Irish government. There's nothing else stopping us but the Irish government.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Taxing us to the hills.
Okay, well, if you want to both stay there, you can, by the way. I have to take a break. I'm going to come to Martin as well after the break, if anybody else wants to get involved. I did plan to finish this up, but so many people want to get involved in the conversation. We're talking about the fact that Irish people are having less children and why. Sean blames squarely the government because of all the issues around having children and the cost of having children and the cost of providing a roof over a child's head, the cost of feeding a child, the cost of educating a child, the cost of everything when it comes to having a child, something we didn't think about 30 or 40 years ago. And he's probably got a point. All of these problems, including housing, which is the main one, accommodation, have been around for some time now. Not just this government, but the previous government and the government before that, which is the same government, by the way. And they did nothing about it. And they're still doing nothing about it. Seems like they're doing nothing about it. They'll tell you they are, but it doesn't seem to be working, whatever it is. Houses are still going up in price. Accommodation, supply and demand is still low. People cannot get a house. Every time houses come up for sale, there's a queue of thousands of people around the corner to pay ridiculous prices for a three-bedroom house. Was it the ones in Kildare last week? Three-bedroom house, 485,000 or 520,000 or something ridiculous. I mean, if you go back, that's in Kildare, not even in Dublin City. If you go back 15, 20 years ago, you'd have got a mansion in Kildare for 500,000. Now you're looking to get a three-bedroom semi-detached. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Martin, I'll be with you in a second. I just want to get a female voice in on this as well. Amy, hi, how are you?
Hi there, Niall. Not too bad.
Good. Amy.
Does it sound good?
It does, yeah. Well, look, this conversation kind of is going on longer than I thought it would. And your kind of argument is that women maybe are choosing careers over having children. Is that the kind of point you want to make?
Well, definitely, yeah. I myself worked in finance in 4 or 5 banks and then moved into tech and worked for handful of the top companies and the richest companies in the world. And essentially, I had no choice. I mean, to compete against the men in the workplace.
Yep.
Let's just say after 4 or 5 promotions, I ended up answering emails of the richest man in the world.
Great.
I work hard and I had to make the choice because every man I met ended up being someone to be looked after, rather than a partner that would actually be able to look after the child while I worked.
Right, okay.
So I had no choice not to have children because otherwise, like, who would look after them? I felt it was wrong.
Do you think, I mentioned earlier on, and by the way, congratulations and well done to you, by the way, for achieving what you did. And I would say that whether you were
I'm not showing off in any way.
I'd say that to you whether you were male or female, by the way. I would say to you, well done for achieving what you've achieved in life so far.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Have we, over the last 30 years, when you go back to our mams and dads, where traditionally, I suppose, you know, the woman stayed at home, mind the kids. Now, it doesn't matter who stays at home, by the way, man or woman, right? Let's not go down gender routes in this, right? But have we sold people a false dream, a materialistic dream of the 2 cars, the holiday, the Sky TV, the Netflix, the best Wi-Fi you can get, the iPad for the kids. You know, this expensive lifestyle that we just can't afford unless two people are working. Have we sold them a fake dream?
Sonny, you've hit the nail on the head when it comes to me. No, I'm non-materialistic. I don't have Sky TV. I don't have any subscriptions. I don't... I'm right now, as I talk to you, I'm walking along the coast with my two little dogs. Absolutely free. I don't have any... my only expense is my mortgage. Which, you know when COVID happened?
A million, Niall.
Sorry, Sean.
You know when COVID happened, Niall? I continued COVID for another few years and moved in with my mom and helped her with my dad's dementia. And I didn't spend one penny. Didn't go to the pub, didn't go to the club, didn't buy any clothes. I saved for a deposit and I bought my own house, a woman on her own. Ireland. On her own. You know what?
Okay, hang on. Sorry, Sean wants to say something to you there. Sean, apart from congratulating the woman, what do you want to say to her?
She's an exception, Niall, you know, and very brave to her. She's doing her own gig and, you know, hats off to you, look. I really mean that, you know, and I wish you all the best.
It wasn't easy, my friend.
Oh, no, we know that. You want to go and get it.
Every single one of my promotions, like, I have endometriosis, so every single one of our promotions, I used to be in work and in pain and toilet and coming back out and fighting for promotions against men. So it's still a hard world for women, you know, guys.
Well, I'm not suggesting it's not. And you know, I know it's getting, when I say it's getting easier, equality is getting better. Sorry, Sean, you want to say something? Look, so you're right. Amy is somebody who's not an exception, but certainly in the minority when it comes to women.
Yeah, very minority. Yeah. Okay. A very small minority. You know, because a lot of... Look here, you know, it's a free show. We can say it. Yeah,
no, I know, Amy. Well, you are in a minority in the route you've chosen in life.
Yeah, come on. I agree.
A lot of girls work as hard as me. Come on.
No, hold on for a second, Amy. This is not an insult. Because for the route that you've chosen in life, the success you've had, and the lifestyle you lead, that wouldn't be, you know, the majority of women. It doesn't represent the majority of women. That would be a minority.
I am now, let's just give a quick overview. I'm now in my mid-40s. When I was in my 20s, I spent all my time looking after these useless men who couldn't sort themselves out.
What, useless men? Can I suggest you were meeting the wrong men, Amy?
You know?
Can I suggest you were meeting the wrong men? You're maybe meeting the wrong men. Sorry, Sean, finish what you wanted to say to Amy anyway. Go on, finish. Hang on, Amy. I can only hear one person at a time. Sean, finish what you want to say to Amy.
Amy, I just wanted to say to you, look, fair play to you, as I said to you, and you know, you read the wrong guys, and you know, and I'm sorry it didn't work out for you, you know, and look what you're doing.
I respect you saying I met the wrong guys, but lads, I travelled 27 countries. My boyfriend,
Amy,
I think we get it, Amy. We get it.
Could not look after me, so Amy. I could have kids.
I swear to God, to you, what I'm saying to you is, look,
so I could have children.
Amy, hang on. Amy, will you hang on? Just have a listen to what Sean is trying to say to you.
I'm just saying, fair play to you, Amy, and I'm glad for you, Amy. But the show tonight is we're talking about why kids aren't being born with Irish families anymore. Why we're not bringing more kids into the Irish population.
I would love it. I would have had 5, 6, 7 kids, and I would have been an amazing mother. And I would raise those children to be the most ethical and kind and loving children.
But you are a minority, Amy.
But I gave it up. I gave it up because society told me that we needed the tax from the international companies, and I worked throughout.
Yeah, that was your choice. That was a choice you made. And by the way, according to the research, most women don't make that choice. Most women, given the choice, if they could have the same money for working, would choose to have children and stay at home with them.
You know what it is, Niall? Amy,
can I just say...
I know you're missing the point I'm trying to make to you, Amy, because you're kind of talking over me a little bit, right? I'm just saying to you, according to the research, women, given the opportunity and the finances of a job, would choose to stay at home and have children and raise them. That's the research.
I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford it.
Amy, can I say
something to you?
Well, that's because you said you couldn't find a man that would look after you.
Well, Amy, can I just say something? I'm sorry.
Or you couldn't find him. Yeah. So, okay, Sean, just very quickly, because I need to go to Martin. Go on.
Yeah. I just want to run this by you, Amy. You know, I always wanted to be a father, Amy. And
thank God I became
a
father.
I'd love to be a mother, my friend, but it's gone now. I'm
walking. Look, but here's the thing, Amy. Look, you couldn't put what you have in your bank account. You could never, ever, you know, match what I have, Amy. And I'm sorry to say that to you, but you couldn't. Because I tell you what, Amy, I have two beautiful kids, and I'm just, you know, I'm delighted that it could
time
happen, Amy, and
thing.
I'm delighted that it happened. But Amy, here's the thing.
My friend, right now, I can't hold my phone any longer because my hand, I'm getting surgery.
Amy, have a great day.
Hand.
Have a great evening.
Because of
thank you, Amy.
25 years of typing. The hand I'm holding my phone in now, I actually went for a neurologist test last week and I'm going for surgery next week because I'm losing.
I wish you well with that, Amy, and I hope it works out for you. But I think the point that Sean was making is sometimes having a family or a family is worth a lot more than being extremely wealthy, maybe. And I know there are people in this world who put wealth before their family. That's fine, too, if that's what you want to do. Stay there if you want, Amy. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm well, Margaret.
Go ahead, Martin.
Yeah. Okay, I'll make a couple of points, Niall, and I'll make them as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
As I said in the text I sent in there, no one will convince me that decisions and policies that are put in place in Ireland for the Irish government are just random, you know, random, stupid decisions and policies. They're anything but random. They're deliberate. They're well thought out because Ireland is being used as a petri dish for the rest of Europe. The World Economic Forum in 2018 declared that by 2030, everyone will own nothing and you'll be happy. The only thing they didn't include in that was whether you like it or not. And that was based on a previous vision by, I think it was a Danish economist or something like that. Someone that she was.
Yeah, I remember that. I do remember that. Yeah.
Ada, someone or other. She was a social democrat in, I think it was Denmark. Anyway, this is where we are. If you look at the policies, okay, tax policies in this country, the dreadful lack of support for parents when you have children, if you do want to work, childcare, look at the health situation in this country, that the health service is abysmal. Everything, in my opinion, is done deliberately to undermine our social cohesion.
When you say done deliberately, for example, the children's hospital, the 1.2 million people on waiting lists to get seen to by a doctor, the lack of housing, the overpriced housing, the overpriced rental accommodation. When you say done on purpose, I don't believe it's done on purpose. I believe it's just incompetence.
Yeah, well, you see, there is a high degree of incompetence now, but it's also, in my opinion, it's done on purpose. Because what it does is, If the national psyche is one of just, you know, we're in crisis constantly, it's easier to control people when that's the case.
But it's of no benefit to the state to be in crisis, really, is it?
No. You see, you're looking at the state, the politicians, the people at the top who are well engaged and totally wrapped up with the World Economic Forum, Europe and a whole lot of it. They don't care about the state. They have no. When you have Micheál Martin saying that he doesn't want to be hearing about Irish
sovereignty,
Irish sovereignty, and at the same time he was going on about Ukrainian sovereignty, and then we had his partner in crime coming out the other day talking about Ukrainian sovereignty. Nobody pulls them up on it. The fact is, if you undermine the sense of nationhood and national pride in a people, it's far easier to control them and to dominate them. And that is what is happening in this country. And anyone who can't see it has their eyes closed. As I said,
I do understand the point you're making. And I know, you know, many people, psychologists have written books and everything on this in relation to politics about keeping control over a population. But in saying that, I do believe that we've had probably at least 7 or 8 governments at this stage who've been just incompetent. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a question of money, as we all know. We've plenty of money. There's lots of it, although that could change very radically, by the way, if Donald Trump has his way. But we have plenty of money at this moment in time, and yet we still are incapable of keeping young people in the country, of making accommodation affordable, of making it affordable for people to have children for childcare, et cetera, and education and everything else, and of keeping prices down when it comes to energy, when it comes to all those things. We make very bad decisions. So that, to me, that's just incompetence.
Well, as I said, Niall, there's a high degree of incompetence, but there's also, there's a strategy, there's a plan behind that.
That kind of suggests, maybe that's where me and you might differ, that kind of suggests there's a man behind the curtain.
Just because you can't see the man behind the curtain doesn't mean that there isn't a man behind the curtain. There's a reason for everything.
Follow the money. I know, I'm well aware there's a reason for it.
There's a reason for everything. They want Ireland is, as I said, Ireland is being used as a petri dish because we had a very socially cohesive population. We had a population that were all of pretty much the same mindset at one time. We were a small population, and everything that's being done here is being done as an experiment to see, well, what way would we tweak it elsewhere? Look at what happened during COVID. We went through, I think we were the longest in Europe.
Second longest lockdown in Europe. In the world, actually. In the world.
Okay. Now, those things are not done just by accident and through incompetence. I agree with you. We have incompetent, useless politicians. But they're incompetent and useless insofar as they have no sense of nationhood. They have no pride in our country. They have no pride in our people. They have no feeling for our people. And anyone who can't see what's happening, they can't see it because they have their eyes closed. This whole thing about, multiculturalism. I'm all for multiculturalism. So long as if I want to see another culture or experience another culture, let me go to that culture. And I'm not being derogatory when I say that, because what I'm saying is every culture is going to be diluted. Every single culture, they want to have a homogenous population, particularly in Europe. But if they get the opportunity, they will make it worldwide. Because if you have people who have no sense of who they are, no sense of their history, no sense of pride in their nation and their culture, it's easier to control them because it just becomes, oh, well,
just before I go to the break, Martin, getting back to the original question, which was, you know, I mentioned Viktor Orban and the stuff, you know, all the policies he's bringing in to encourage people to have more children, because that's a huge part of this as well. If we're not having children, we're losing our identity as well. So how do we encourage, or how do you, if you were in government, how would you encourage the family?
Well, I would be going along the same lines as Orban. I mean, you say he's not popular. He's very popular with his own people.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. Well, no, I'm well aware of that. I'm just saying he's not popular amongst members of the EU. Obviously.
Okay. As at the same time, so is Trump. He's very popular. The rest of the world might not think he's popular. The media, the woke, useless media who don't ask the right questions, they might not think those people are popular. They're popular with their own populations, with their own people. Orban is doing what he regards as best for his people, and his people appreciate it. And the fact that the media in the West and other politicians say, oh, no, your immigration policies are all wrong, then he doesn't care. He's doing the best for his people, as is Trump, as are Poland. I mean, even in Russia, couples are doing far better financially than they were if they have children. That's what it comes down to, because those countries...
Okay, well, sorry, Amy, you want to say something there? Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm just saying that's why I didn't have children. I couldn't have the stress of the guilt of not being able to do everything that I could as a mother, and I wanted to spend all the time with my own child rather than pass it to a nanny or a school, you know? And that's what stopped me. I didn't feel it was...
But no, it didn't stop you. You made a choice, Amy. You made a choice to pursue your career rather than having children. That was the choice you made.
Initially, yes, but then I developed a condition that made me infertile. But,
okay, well, I do apologise, and I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay, Niall. It's endometriosis. It's a bad one.
No, I was going to just say something to Martin.
Yeah. Well, just one at a time. Yes, Sean, you want to say something to Martin? Go ahead.
I agree with Martin wholeheartedly here, Niall. You know,
you just asked Martin a question there. What would make it, you know, that the Irish population would pick up? And I want to answer that question to you now. I'll tell you what would make it better for us as the Irish population is to make more affordable homes, to stop taxing us to the hilt, to stop making our children leave this country because they can't afford a home. You know, I could go on here all night now. I could have you here all night on the line to tell you what this government could do to make us have more children. Like, my son is 25. As I said to you, Noel, when I was 25, my son was... I had my son at 21. He was 4 years of age. You know, I'm a firm believer that you have kids at 20 years of age, in your 20s, and, look, in your 30s. At 40s, look, it's everybody to their own at that stage. But I'm a firm believer, you know, in your 40s, you need to start, you know, thinking about your 50s and 60s, Noel, if you get what I'm saying. You know, and that's the way I was brought up. I don't know about anybody else. But the fact of the matter is, Noel, the kids, here, they haven't got a hope. You know, we're thinking now, at this stage, Noel, where to put my son and his long-time girlfriend. We're thinking about, you know, as you know, Noel, the laws were changed now that you can put log cabins out the back now. Well, they're changing them. We're thinking about putting a log cabin out the back now where they can start their own family. You know, where
I think this is shocking because the idea that we're now allowing that, it just shows the desperation in the government that they're going to say, well, it's all right, you can have your kids live in a shed out the back garden. Yeah, that's just desperation. That's not going to fix the problem. Sean and Martin, listen, thank you, and Amy, thank you very much indeed as well.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.